Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
This show is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai Tucson, the best Tucson ever. It's all new. It's been completely reimagined, and it results in probably the best SUV out there, especially at the price. So you can go to Hyundai.com for more information. All right, we will get into a birthday cake controversy that took place here, and we'll figure out who the culprit is. Some crosstalk, some phone calls, a little Baghdad Cafe revisited, and first, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. Well, you should bundle those. You take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance, and you bundle it up with your automotive policy, and you save a bunch of money. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and just how easy it is when you go to geico.com. That is geico.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast, the most fun you'll ever listen to while you're folding your clothes. Now let's get this straight, this is not your average podcast. T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio is super fun, super crazy, it's pretty much an in-your-face conversation. That's the good thing about us, we don't do interviews, we do conversations. All of my guests, all of my co-hosts, we chill, we drink, we play games, we have the song of the week, we have the creative curse word of the week, as long as you're having fun as our guest. Speaking of guests, each week I'm going to go through my whole contact list and dive headfirst into the world of music, gaming, exotic cars, tech, strippers probably, doctors probably strippers that are only stripping so they can pay for tuition to become a doctor. You never know. My wife is a certified bartender. She'll make you a drink while you're here. We'll get you drunk and make you play VR after. It's a lot going on, but that's what it's all about over here at T-Pain's Nappy Boy Radio Podcast. See you soon, baby!
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, John Taffer, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, he has also single-handedly rescued bars just because of his raging alcoholism. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, we get it on. A mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Daddy, stop talking.
Oh, yeah. It's the kid's birthday today.
Oh, I'm glad Brian remembered.
Yeah. So what are we getting then?
I don't know. You know, it's so easy to buy kids off. I mean, let's face it. Everyone just wants cash. Mm. I just give them $100 or whatever. I just take some of my merch money and just give it to them.
When does that happen? Because Tessa can give a shit. She, like, you know, she's into pennies and dimes and
right.
shit. Stuff that's shiny. You know what I mean? Like, she has mm-hmm. the concept of actual money.
Mm-hmm.
Preteen, you think around 12?
I mean, at some point, they figure out that the cash is what you trade in to get all the shit they
and
want.
And why then, shouldn't they decide?
Then you just give it to them. And, you know, I think we all remember that, you know, the sweater, the tough skins, or the junk you didn't want that people would buy you when sure. you were young. I think we all at some point realized we could get cash.
Yeah.
Again, the Brunos, Vince and Pat Bruno figured that out early with a shiny dime for every year.
Oh, boy.
I was on the planet. So,
that's
you
smart.
Know, turning nine.
Yeah, I realize the little one just lost his first tooth, and his mom gave him $20.
Holy shit.
And he has no idea what that is. He's like, it's one paper money. And so he just lost his second tooth. I was like, Andy, just give him $1. He doesn't know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
$20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It was when I was a kid, there was a big difference between a silver dollar
oh,
or
yeah.
a 50-cent piece
sure,
and,
size.
You know, 5 dimes.
Dude, that's yep. a collectible item.
Yeah, although we couldn't collect money, if you think about it. That is a first world problem. Yeah. Collecting literally the collection of money.
Just put it aside. The one thing we do that's smart is Andy got a gumball machine and put Skittles in it because this kid loves candy, and we keep a little change drawer by it. And if he does all of his chores, he gets, and it doesn't matter what you give him because it'll work, a penny, a nickel, whatever, and he gets to get, you know, four Skittles that come out. Right. So that's the only reason he cares about change.
That was
starting a food addiction.
That's good, right. Yeah. Start it early.
That was another sort of Mason-Dixon line between the friends. There was Max Zapata. You can find this old commercial. It was a gumball dispenser commercial. It had like Mickey Mouse. Maybe it had Popeye on it. And in the commercial, they'd go, "Here's a penny for the gumball, Mickey. Thanks for the gumball." And I did have a friend who had the gumball. I think it was the Mickey Mouse dispenser at his house.
Yeah, yeah.
That was that was a big deal. Anyone who had something could be a pool table, could be pinball.
Yep. We had
could
both.
Be anything Dude. that you would find in an arcade. Yeah. If they had it at their house, that's how you measured success of a friend.
That's right.
Have I ever brought up in the show my Uncle Wonka?
No.
Excuse me?
I have an Uncle Bill, my dad's brother.
His
name is Bill, and Uncle Bill, and he is Uncle Wonka to us because he is a... I can't believe I never brought this up. He's a grown man child, right? Like, mm-hmm. He's like, you know you mentioned these people before who were like arrested in childhood, but like they become adults, but they want like a lot of things.
Well, I've always kind of talked about the yummy phase.
Mm.
He's the yummiest.
Uncle Wonka. His name is Uncle Wonka. Yeah, he's stuck on the yummy phase. He had pinball machines.
Mm-hmm.
Arcade machines. He had two children. Like, this is like a married man with kids, and this is the coolest place to go when you're,
you know,
10 years old or whatever I was. Go over to Uncle Wonka's house because he was my mean grandmother's son, so he did a lot of taping of movies onto tapes, mm-hmm. and he had every fucking movie ever you ever wanted to watch. He had the gumball machines. He had candy everywhere, comic book, which I didn't give a shit about. He collected everything, and it was just the coolest.
Is he still with us?
They moved. They sold the house. That was the house, if you remember, when the big explosion was in San
Gas
Bruno.
Leak, yeah.
This was the last house that survived.
Oh, that was the
crazy
one.
Picture.
Now,
imagine what's inside that house.
Was he in the yummy phase?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So the yummy phase.
What my grandma called, he consumed exclusively what my grandma referred to as Coke and garbage. All I need is Coke and garbage.
Yeah, the yummy phase is really just about beer versus a daiquiri.
Right. I don't think he ever had a beer.
Beer versus a Shasta Cola or something like
Shasta
that.
Shasta Cola everywhere.
It's also kind of.
By the palate.
Really?
Yes.
It's also
stacked in the garage.
A rare steak versus like chicken tenders and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, never cooked.
It's a no seafood fly zone. There's no oysters on the half shell. There's
shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail, like maybe because it's cooked and the cocktail sauce
but
can be
bitter.
Sweet.
Two weird things about him.
And then there's pussy.
Many weird things about him. Number one, love Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Love Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, had the ultimate blue collar job, trash collector. He's a garbage man.
Brian, like I don't mean to besmirch your family, but there's a trash collector who loved Disneyland and collected things to lure kids over. You get what I'm saying?
He loved to paint clowns.
Yeah.
His basement was completely stocked.
Locked from the outside.
Yeah,
that's right.
There were rooms I couldn't get into. Like, you know, don't ask about that room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just checking.
Uncle Wonka.
Wow.
I got to think of some more stories about him. He loved the Three Stooges, had like autographed pictures.
Guys like that were all... We look down our nose and are secretly envious of,
wildly
right?
Wildly envious.
Yeah, right.
He seems to have a good thing going.
He had baseball cards and football cards, and it was awesome.
Did his wife,
45s.
Did his wife go along with him in his lifelong folly?
1,000%.
Oh,
They are partners in life.
Well, then that, my friend, is a happy man. We have the commercial from what year? 70s gumball?
They just said 70s, yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching this going, that's something else we're definitely not going to own. Because that's a two-parter.
Oh.
That is not only do you have to pay for the item itself, but then you would have to pay for
it.
You have to keep it stocked.
Right.
That's right. Here it is, sir.
Penny, Mickey. For gumball. Penny for a gumball, Freddy.
Oh, Fred Flintstone. Fred Flintstone.
For gumball, Thanks for the gumball.
Gumball Bank with new sugarless gumball. You can get refills that fill up Mickey Mouse, Popeye, Fred Flintstone.
Oh, wow.
As the gumballs go down, the pennies go up.
What are you going to do with all your pennies, Popeye?
Buy rock gumballs.
Yeah, but never do. Me too.
Mickey Mouse, Popeye, and Fred Flintstone gumball banks with sugarless gumballs. Refills sold separately.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to say, a lot of vintage stuff looks cool. That looks like trash. Yeah. That's something you find at a yard sale.
Yeah, it's not something you'd want to repurpose.
Speaking of keeping it stocked, you know, so Uncle Walker had slot machine.
Oh,
just a slot machine you could play with.
Oh, yeah.
And paid off every once in a while. And jukebox.
Mm.
You had
like a jukebox, like not the digital one. You had the one that played 45.
Yeah, with the radio. I mean, with the record player, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good measuring. It's a good yardstick to kind of measure happy. Mm. Do you have things like jukeboxes and pinball machines? Do you have that kind of? Do you have that kind of stuff? All right, so we have Fondalier. Fondalier's got some disappointing news.
Uh-oh.
We were doing Ace on the House with Stromer, and he had mentioned that his grandfather, who was a songwriter, who had actually penned a song for Elvis.
Oh, my.
He was just talking to me about his aunt, who's a songwriter. Was that your aunt?
That's my aunt's dad, somebody else that I have not told Adam about either.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't find it dubious, but I wanted to investigate a little bit.
Carry on.
Now, I had figured out that it probably wasn't one of his, you know, big hits.
It wasn't Lieber or Stoller?
No, we would probably know about if it's one of the big hits, but I told Matt to investigate anyway because he had been fed this lie.
My whole life.
His entire life, thinking that his grandfather wrote a song that Elvis cut, and so he went scratching around. Kind of reminds me, now my family was funny because my grandmother claimed to be in the Daughters of the American Revolution, but my mom would constantly explain to her that she wasn't.
Yeah. Made for a loving relationship.
Sure, sure. It's interesting because neither one of them knew exactly.
Right.
And my mom had no evidence to the contrary. She just didn't like her mom.
Right.
So she would explain to her why she wasn't a daughter of the American Revolution.
Right.
Now, I don't know what the danger was in 1977 living in North Hollywood. It's not like she had a badge she wore or anything. She just walked around with that thought in her head. But my mother burnt a few calories making sure she didn't have that thought in her head. But I told Matt, investigate.
I've got a guess.
Hmm.
Different Elvis? An Elvis we've never heard of? Elvis Bronstein?
Or
he sold the song but never recorded?
Well, let's hear the real story.
So I scrambled to get a hold of my mom and I said, Mom, Papa wrote a song for Elvis, right? And she wrote back, oh, he wrote one. He met with him, but Elvis never recorded it.
There you go.
Oh, yes. I mean, we could all write a song for Elvis.
Yeah. So
you know what, Gina? I'm going to write one right now.
I can write it too.
So it's basically join an elite fraternity of everyone on the planet who hasn't had a song recorded by Elvis.
It's as though we wrote a fan letter to him.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Well,
that's
look, awesome. As long as your dreams are dashed, I've done my work.
That's amazing.
All right.
Do we all have family lore that we think may or may not be true in some way?
I've been told my entire life that we're cousins with Leonard Nimoy.
There you go.
Mm.
No proof.
Yeah. Did I ever bring up I've been told, it's family lore, that my great-great-grandfather wrote Pinocchio.
Excuse me?
No, Carlos Collodi is the pen name, but his real name was Carlos Lorenzini, which is my mom's maiden name.
Ooh.
He took the name of the hometown, Collodi, Italy.
Matt, get your mom on the blower. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this.
So,
Brian, Pinocchio,
Brian,
Lorenzini.
You look like you just got off the Mayflower. What's with the Lebanese grandparents
know,
and the Italian
right?
moms?
It's all the Canadian influence. It whitewashed everything.
Yeah.
So, we got the mothers or the daughters of the American Revolution. We're not sure about that one.
Right.
I don't know if you want that today. That just means potential slave owner.
I would not go around announcing that.
I hear racist.
Yeah.
My grandmother's father was a cement contractor who did many of the sidewalks all throughout Hollywood in the 20s and the teens and stuff like that. Maybe you can find his name stamped into something.
That'd be cool.
His name was WPA 1940.
My dad has done nothing, and his dad did nothing, and his brother, one of them was a war hero, World War
That's
II.
Right. The musket or sword or something.
Carollo.
Yes. Yeah, Carollo, who also became the city photographer for the city of Philadelphia
in
the 70s. So there's like pictures of him and the mayor and, you know, of the 76ers, you know, from
city
back
Hall,
in the day.
Probably,
yeah,
like
that kind of stuff. Grandma on dad's side named Louise did nothing but pray and cook pasta and, you know, like hairnet kind of lunch lady cafeteria kind of thing. My grandmother's brother killed himself at a youngish age.
We used to stop this.
My mom's only child. My dad had another brother named Mario who never moved out, really, just kind of lived in the old neighborhood in South Philly. And my dad doesn't have any claims to fame. My mom doesn't. My grandmother had a few. My grandmother was more like she knew people.
She was like friends with Truman Capote, like that type.
She
should have been.
She was friends with guys, I told you about, oh God, I'll try to think of the guy, like fathers of the gay movement and stuff like that.
Harry Hay.
Yeah, Harry Hay was.
Oh, look at you. I mean, nothing.
Was one of the
I was thinking a lot about him.
First guys to wear a dress publicly or something. My grandfather, you know, wrote The Mole People. Yeah. And, but.
Nothing. He was nominated for an Oscar.
He was nominated for an Oscar.
That's not nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, but step-grandfather,
yeah,
so
nope,
I don't know.
You got to cling to that, buddy.
Biological grandfather, like, walked to San Francisco, was never seen again kind of thing. That's about as far as I got.
The only other thing I can think of is I was told our cousin wrote the Kibbles and Bits theme.
Probably the richest one amongst us.
I would believe that.
Oh, my God.
Let's see. My grandfather was a playwright, step-grandfather. Yeah. He wrote some plays and knew some of the people back, you know, old Hollywood times. And that's about all I got.
Chris, trace my lineage. See if I'm related to Carlo Collodi.
Did your grandfather ever speak to you in Hungarian or teach you Hungarian?
Yeah, he taught me. He would speak to his sister Buzsi in Hungarian. He always spoke fluently. He taught me the tongue twister once, which is about a priest and a priestly wooden pipe, and the priest had a wooden priestly pipe or some version of that. It was like a neophyte pupnuk, a puppy five one, tehai epify puppy people puppy puppy pot. That's all. That's what I remember from my Laszlo Gorog.
Yeah.
Teaching me Hungarian, and then, you know, then he would just screw me up because he pronounced paprika paprika, and I would say paprika, and everyone would correct me. But I got it from the source.
From the source. Right.
Who, speaking of source, once a year would go to Hungary and come back with a pillowcase of paprika.
Right.
He needed his Hungarian.
My mean grandma would curse at me in Lebanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, Lebanese.
I remember Mokta and Hara. Yeah, there's a couple of Lebanese nestlers alive right now.
All right. Let's see. Kaylin spotted a homeless guy beating off.
Oh.
We got that working for us.
Outside my house.
Is it Tuesday already?
We haven't gotten into it, but if you think about it, you take substance abuse and a little mental issues. We don't really talk about it. We don't like to think about it. But if the average, you know, let's say the average homeless dude, I don't know, what's the average age of the average homeless dude in Los Angeles? 34 and a half or something?
Sure. I'm like skewed by a couple older people, but generally the mean is probably, mid-30s. Yeah.
Guy's doing plenty of spanking. I mean, that's that's spanking prime.
Right.
And it's not like you got a place to go.
No.
So makes sense that a certain amount of that, if you're doing everything on the street, then why not include that?
Yeah.
Where were you, Kaylin?
I was right outside of USC Keck Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Right on Moreno and State Street.
That's
fault. And that's where Waze takes me. You know, it takes you off the freeway to get back on later. And it was about 8:45 in the morning. And he was right in the right in front of a gas station.
Was did he seem like he was he doing it with intent or kind of lazily?
It It seemed to be intentional.
Okay.
His back was facing me.
It was accidentally
100% confirmed, but I did take a little video, so you can decide for yourself whether or not that's
yeah.
what he's doing.
Okay.
So you're in your car. Oh,
he's up against like a cart.
He looks like he's lounging on the street.
Like he's crouching?
Looks like he's laying down on his side with his right hand around
I can't tell.
He was doing that for a while before I started taking his video, too.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so the hands down the pants. He's right on the corner.
Yeah, he's not trying to be discreet.
Hey, this is Waze doing this.
Yeah.
So I know. I've said this once. I'll say it again. I was driving in from Malibu this morning. I basically just take PCH to the 10. It turns into the 10. The 10 goes into the 405, and the 405 goes in the 101, and the 101 goes in the 134, and that's how you do it. Every once in a while, it'll be like, get off on Vermont and drive through the shanty town.
Yes.
And then I'll go, that's a weird way to go. And then I go back to the Waze alternate routes thing, and 1 minute, I can stay on the freeway the entire time and not get risk being jacked by a gangbanger or watching a gangbanger jack or whatever it is. And look, it's 1 minute difference. It's 38 minutes versus 39 minutes. It'll be the best 47 seconds you've ever spent not getting off. Plus, once you get off on Vermont and then turn down Alvarado and then cut through the pick and save parking lot, you could fuck that up at that point. You can easily fuck it up and add 10 minutes, or you could end up in Crip or Blood territory, or you could just, the likelihood of you getting rear-ended by, some guy driving a gardening truck goes up tenfold. Should they really, Waze is good. Shouldn't it kind of know you're on your main freeway?
You should have the option of not being alerted unless it's a, you should set the difference, 10-minute difference.
Yeah, and Waze off will show you like, oh, here's the fastest way. It'd be nice if they gave you that three options.
Right.
Like, here are the three fastest ways. And you can be like, oh, well, it's a minute difference and I'm not getting off the goddamn freeway.
Yeah, once the Mason-Dixon line's about 5 minutes, maybe, if it gets over five, I'll get off the freeway. Also, it'd provide a nice service to all the people who lived in houses on those side streets and in the hills and stuff where everyone didn't just pour off of the freeway and drive
that.
Up their street. All right. We have some controversy here. A little cake gate. There's some cake controversy.
Here at the studio?
I'm sorry. We have cake?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm unaware of this.
For my birthday last week, we had a miniature cake. And it's the one
Joe Coy's cake.
Joe Coy's cake.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Happy birthday, Joe.
We love you, Joe.
Which was repurposed as my cake. or actually, my cake was repurposed as Joe Coy's cake.
That's right.
Now, when I came here on Friday, somebody had sort of taken care of the cake, which is the cake has a snap lid on it. Maybe you can get the cake out of the fridge or we'll see a picture of it. The cake has, it's a small cake.
Like a little dome plastic snap-on.
It takes a little snap-on lid. It's the size of a large cupcake, comes in a little plastic saucer, and has a snap-on dome lid. So when I got here the following day on Friday, the cake was out next to the refrigerator. The lid was on top, but the lid was on top of the candles. Which left 7/8 of an inch of air around the base of the cake.
Right.
Yeah.
Not great.
So I just pulled the candles out, snapped the lid on it, and put it into the refrigerator. Took a couple of days. Oh, no, wait. It took 22 seconds
to
do that.
You had to sleep here.
That's right. Then
make base camp. Try again in the morning.
I thought, now, who's the cake culprit here? And I thought, well, Max Zapata. Because as I explained to him on the ride in, he was the last person handling the cake that I saw. But more importantly, he had the emotional ability to do that.
Cool.
I'd put it into his lexicon. Is within the realm. You know, those kind of things where they go, Bert's accused of killing his wife. And then everyone goes, he could have never done that. And then others go,
I can see a world.
I've seen fly off the handle.
Yeah, you were in that category.
Wildly insulting.
I could see, mainly based on you holding it last. So you set it down, but that was not you.
No.
You were emphatic about not putting the lid on top of the candles.
I don't see a world where he leaves any cake.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point, too.
Smart. It's a thing, yeah, it's also a thing about food. Like, I could never do that with food.
Yeah.
All right.
I could never be mad at you.
Sanctity too yeah, much.
Right. So, the question I said to Chris, see if we can figure out who did that. So, whoever did it was kind of thoughtful enough to put the lid on top of the cake.
And jam the candles in further.
Which suggests some preservation of the cake. But obviously, you can't snap the lid on if the lid is up in the air.
No.
Potential fire hazard. Not even going to go there. But also, less than 2 feet from the refrigerator.
Do we have video of this? There's got to be video.
We have security cameras, don't we?
This is in one of the dead zones.
We had,
of course it is. That's how they wanted it.
So I thought we should guess who that individual was.
Sadly.
Now, some people.
I do too.
It won't be bullet dodged because Dawson's not on my list because I don't think he'd put the lid on in the first place.
I don't think he's a cake guy.
I'm not going to eat the cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat the cake either, but the point is the point is I
put lids back on everything, so you're 100% wrong on that.
All right. All right, I'm going to put the lid on this conversation, Dawson.
Just so.
All right, so I don't have Dawson on that list. I don't have a real, I don't think I have Fondelier. Max Pat is off the list. Kalen's could be a front runner.
Perhaps,
here.
But there's an obvious choice.
All right, I'm gonna defer to you. What do you think?
I like Ryan.
I knew it! I knew it!
But this is a Ryan game.
Okay, here's the only reason I go with Ryan. Hmm. Because everybody else in this building is coached up to, we could all do this in our sleep. One hand tied behind our back, eyes closed. We know the drill. Maybe Ryan isn't coached up.
All right, so we say intern
new
Ryan.
Intern Ryan, yeah.
Plus, all right, I'll go Kalen just to mix it up.
I don't think it's Kalen. Kalen's a very sort of like sincere, sober dude.
Okay.
That's like his vibe now.
Thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally believe that.
Mm. Are you sober, Kalen?
a lot more sober than I have in the past.
Okay. He's more sober than he isn't.
Mm-hmm.
True.
All right.
Now, the only thing about me is I don't like cake. So I feel like I've told you.
So maybe he did this to punish the cake.
That's right.
Well, I feel like that needs to be removed from the equation because I'm not a big cake fan either, but other people like cake.
That opens it up to
my
thing. Now.
Yeah. All right. So
it could have been somebody who didn't care for the cake, but had a sense of, albeit warped sense, of putting lids back on things and just saw an unlidded cake and said, ooh. Cover that and smash the candles.
I think that's why Brian and I say Ryan.
But they didn't smash the candles. They just kind of set it on there, and then there was a nice gap of daylight.
Tried to do the right thing, didn't go the whole way.
Ryan, as the dutiful intern, I imagine, would not think it'd be his duty to remove candles from a cake.
Mm.
Like, oh, Adam wants these candles here.
Who am I to remove these candles?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So whoever it is has
Ryan's hanging out right
some
there.
Thoughts for humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But not a finisher. Not a closer.
Right.
Not a man of action.
Or some action.
Doesn't take
some
the liberty.
All right. So,
anything you want to say?
Maxipata, Kalen, you got something to say? I don't know who the culprit is. We're trying to walk.
We never have any takers.
Maxipata, what's going on here? We don't.
Oh,
here comes Ryan.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Dead man walking.
Ryan?
Yeah, it was me. I put it all away.
You put it all away.
Up top, Brian.
What's all away mean?
Well, it started with the Panda Express, and then I moved that down to chassis with Megan,
and good.
Then got back, cleaned everything up, saw that there was the cakes and cupcakes and stuff still out there, and I just grabbed them, didn't even think, just grabbed them, put them in the fridge.
Mm. All I hear is guilty, guilty,
not
guilty,
the cake.
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
The cake didn't get into the fridge. Uh-oh.
Oh, who's the it covering
for? The cake was out.
Oh, well, now I'm shook.
The cake was out with the lid on top of the candles.
And it wasn't in the fridge.
It was definitely not in the fridge.
I'm just going to take this one for the team.
Solid move. Solid move.
Because you did it?
He doesn't know.
Well, you put away the cupcakes, but the cake was not in the refrigerator near the cupcakes. It was out.
I think the question is, why wouldn't you put the cake in the fridge?
Yeah.
I think that's a better question. I think I must have not seen the cake, and that's on me.
But you put the lid back on the cake. No. Somebody put the lid on the cake.
And then walked away.
Max Pata, when did you set the cake down?
I didn't even take it out of the studio, because right after he said that, I was editing the video and had to send it to Joe's team to post it.
Oh, so somebody took it out of the studio.
Yeah, because last was there, it was in the studio, and I didn't
know. I wonder who took it out of the studio now.
Okay, this is getting confusing.
All right, well, either way.
Look at Ryan next to Chris.
Ryan, I think Ryan is Ryan's the winner,
Ryan,
or the loser.
We'll give you this
Brian
one.
And Gina are the winners and losers, and I should apologize to Caitlin.
Ryan, go stand next to Chris again.
No, you should.
Looks like a game of whack-a-mole in the middle of it.
Brian, please.
All right. Let's see. We got talk to Corey, 44, from Minnesota. Corey?
Adam, first time, long time, buddy.
Hi, guy.
Hey, man. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, I see that you're coming to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, what's the plan? Because it's virtually a war zone at this point.
Is it? Where's the Acme Comedy Co.? That'll be August 27th, 28th, by the way. Doing live podcasts there and stand-up.
It's in what we call the Warehouse District.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Not too far from the Deja Vu.
Oh. Is that like... Oh, I think I played Acme before then.
Yeah, it's pretty small. I'd call it intimate.
Yeah.
The last time we saw it was in 2017 at the Minneapolis Music Hall.
Maybe I haven't played Acme before. Now we got to figure it out.
Probably, I don't know, possibly. It's besides the Rick Bronson's Comedy Club at the Mall of America, it's the other, you know, comedy joint for Minnesota.
How's Minnesota, how's Minneapolis doing?
Right now it's hot as hell. I'd call this California weather right now. It's 94, 95.
And humid as hell.
It's unpleasant. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
I was thinking...
It's cold and rainy today.
I was listening. It's sad, but whenever you hear about murder statistics, you know, there's, murders are up everywhere and the defund the police and it's not working. And then someone will chime in and go... Well, you know, during the summer, it's warm, so there's more murders. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, we're pretty casual with our murdering. Like, I'm murdering. It's 67. Oh, not if I have to put a sweat jacket on.
It's not murder weather, man. Come on.
Yeah, well, you tell me when it gets above 82.
I'm slightly uncomfortable. Well, where's my cleaver?
I get it. More people on the streets, right. Whatever. But it is kind of a funny thing that we base a lot of it on. Well,
weather
it's
related.
Warm. You go outside.
Oh, no,
you're wearing your murder shorts.
You're absolutely true, because I've been saying since last May, when the George Floyd thing happened, if that would have happened in February, that riot would have never happened.
Well, yeah. I mean, Minnesota,
it would have been way too fucking cold. Nobody would have been outside. They would have been like, fuck this.
Or would they have lit more police precincts on fire to keep warm?
Take it back. Take it back.
Leave it to Gina.
Thank you.
Gina, you got it.
Thanks, Corey.
That was a little reference to Rocky. And the guys warming themselves by the trash can.
Oh, my God.
By the police cruiser.
Frank Stallone. That's deep.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we need to put together a little small armed militia, with... the four murdered out Suburbans to take care of you guys
I played the Varsity Theater and the St. Anthony Main Theater, but I guess I never played
the Warehouse District
Comedy Club. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Yeah, meet me with the unmarked cars and the limo tint and the government plates on it, and you can escort me and Mike as we walk to the Acme Theater.
Well, that's only the first part of it. The second part of it is I need to get you out to my barbecue restaurant, because we have the best Central Texas style barbecue that you can find in Minnesota.
He'll be the judge of that.
Oh, really? Well, we will.
Yeah, I have my signed Taco Bell material live poster hanging up in my dining room right now. And
well, I'll tell you what.
Everybody always thinks that you've been to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was he here? I was like, oh, no, dear. We went to the show. We paid money.
That's the Baghdad Cafe.
You might as well put, that's Burt Lancaster.
Oh.
Find me Burt Lancaster in Baghdad Cafe. It's the funniest comedy moment because it's the way Huell waits. He waits like three beats. Do you have Guy Fieri up there too?
The funny thing is, people talk about Triple D coming in here because the production company that produces that show is actually based in Minnesota.
Oh. Mm.
Well, I'll tell you what, Corey. Let's work it out so that me, Chris, and Mike can come out Saturday afternoon and enjoy some food at your fine establishment. Because
I would love that. I would love it. You guys can come out if you want me to bring it with to the comedy
No,
show,
no,
too,
no. Let me tell you how that works. Let me tell you how that works.
You don't want soggy brisket.
Let me tell you how that works. That you bring it to the back of the comedy club. Mike August walks in, demolishes the whole thing.
Right. Great.
I have to go up on stage in 14 minutes. Right. Nobody can enjoy barbecue backstage when you have to go out on stage. And then when I'm done and I come off stage, Mike had finished off the brisket and the ribs.
You can lick Mike's face.
That's how that goes. So we'll wait till Saturday, and me and Mike and Chris will come in and enjoy it in person. And I'll sign that poster. All right, let me tell you about Hyundai Tucson. Hyundai questioned everything to create the best Tucson ever. Every inch of the all-new Tucson has been completely reimagined, resulting in an SUV loaded with innovations inside and out, from design to technology to safety. Every aspect of the new Tucson has been improved and completely redesigned. This is a beautiful SUV. I don't think you can beat it at its price point. I've looked at a few other manufacturers' SUVs in the Tucson price range. Nothing like the Tucson. They have a digital key, allows you to use your phone as a spare key. Also, they got a 10.25-inch full-touch infotainment screen front and center, bigger than many high-end SUV screens. LED daytime running lights stylishly hidden in the front grille. And you can learn more at Hyundai.com. That's Hyundai.com. I have a very good point that I will share with you guys right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Adam Carolla fans, you asked and we listened. Now is your chance to smell Adam's balls with his new scented candle. It's the perfect Father's Day gift. A limited edition, This Smells Like My Balls Adam Carolla candle. There are only 250 available, so they should sell out by the time I finish reading this. Only $35. Bougie Parfum Le Carolla's Balls. Order yours now at AdamCarolla.com.
It's actually a very good smelling candle. And I say that as the man who wears the balls it was named after. All right. I heard a good point. I love a good point. Don't you guys like a good point?
Yeah. Sure.
Simple to the point. Makes sense.
There's been a lot of controversy about transgender and sports and a lot of Caitlyn Jenner's. God, it was hard enough. It's hard enough getting on in life, just having to remember all the names and all the LGBTQ and all that stuff, much less guys you've known as Bruce Jenner your entire, physically switching names. Right. Like, not even a new celebrity on the scene named Caitlyn Jenner, the guy I knew for 40 years.
The world famous, world great athlete.
Flipped on me, and now I got to stop and process that. But she got a lot of flack for saying that transgendered women, I don't even know, boys who became women shouldn't be able to compete against biological girls. I think Martina Navratilova got into some shit with that. It's one of those we're out of problems because it's a raging issue that doesn't affect anyone you've ever met.
Right.
And it can't represent any portion of society. I mean, literally out of a populace of 330 million people, it's got to affect 11 people, but we're enthralled. But I heard this point, and this is interesting. So, you know, I think the Caitlyn Jenners of the world and the Martina Navratilovas of the world and many are accused, many, you know, right-wing senators and things like that, they're accused of being transphobic. And then they fire back and go, I'm not transphobic. I like women's sports, and it's an unfair advantage to those competing against the women. So I'm really pro-woman versus transphobic. But I heard this point today. You never hear about it going the other direction. What about all the, you know, there's plenty of females that become male. Mm-hmm. Nobody says a word if they want to compete against males.
Lock yourself out.
Which is sort of like, well, then it's not a trans thing. It's a competition thing, because if it was purely trans, then you would have a problem with people going the other direction. And I've never heard anyone utter a word about the other direction.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Now, granted, I don't think it happens that often, because I don't think women want to go cross over and then compete with men.
It's not common.
We're back to the no advantage, right. And now you're at a disadvantage at that point. But I've never heard an instance of anyone complaining about the other directions.
And if it's a girl who becomes a man who smokes weed, then we really shouldn't have a problem with her as an athlete.
That's right. Wait a minute. What's that mean?
Well, because we talked before about why is weed illegal?
I don't even...
It doesn't help you.
Yeah, I agree.
But, so your point absolutely taken. And who does this really affect? So why have three states passed legislation banning this if it doesn't affect anybody?
Well, it affects whoever's on the bubble who's running in the high school track competition, whoever those girls
are. But say Tennessee passes a statewide bill because of it probably zero, but it's possible that one person in their state may be figuring out whether she should do track and field. So a whole state had to get involved?
No, I agree. It's kind of much ado about nothing, but there are instances of young biological women who didn't make the cut because they got beat by formerly biological men who transition and who dominate.
Yeah, if you're talking about maybe losing a scholarship or something over it, now you're talking about actual consequences.
I think it's...
It's probably not widespread.
No, it's not. I think it's Massachusetts or something that the state high school records are held by two former...
Oh, really?
Interesting.
Yeah, which is kind of makes it a little weird, but I don't know. You can look that one up, but either way.
Massachusetts doesn't seem to have a dog in this fight, because the three states are Tennessee, Mississippi, and Arkansas.
I'm trying to think it's Massachusetts, but I cannot remember where there's a couple of athletes have the high school. I think it's the 100 meter is, or it's a sprinting thing. Well, we'll look that up. Yeah, Burt Lancaster at the Baghdad Cafe. It's the greatest piece of film ever. But really an argument for why... public television should be defunded. All right, here we go. This is
They've got a nice booth set up here.
Those are not booths.
Painting of, looks like, Burt Lancaster up on the wall. I'm not sure what we've... Heidi, can we talk to you a little bit about the history of...
He ran out of steam.
Baghdad Cafe?
What's your name?
Hello. Huell Hauser from PBS.
Andre?
He's on the phone.
From PBS. Hold his hand. Here. Won't let go.
The Leaning Tower of Pisa. He's leaning
away
from me.
I didn't either. They just showed up.
Yeah, we're catching everybody off guard.
Still holding hands.
Still grabbing his hand.
Encounter. Okay, well. No. All right. I'll take care of it then.
Still holding hands.
Now, just hold it for a second. Look, The guy who's on the phone who works at the Baghdad Cafe is a three-time loser, I mean, he looks like he's talking to his parole officer right now.
Yeah. Yes, he's wearing something on his ankle.
He's loved and he's lost, and he's on the blower with the owner, and they're probably talking about some grift at this point. Like, we're talking about paying off the health inspector. Right. Or how to bilk some hours out of the guys in the kitchen.
Something involved with petty cash.
How to cook a rat.
Right, how to cook a rat. And then Huell comes storming in, grabs the guy's hand, and puts a microphone in his face. And this guy...
He's leaning at 40 degrees.
Yeah.
He's leaning completely away from Huell. Huell has him by the right hand and is pulling him toward him and shoving a mic in his face. And this guy goes, I'll handle it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
We're on right now.
We're burning up tape. We need to get this interview going here.
Okay.
Blame him.
I'll talk to you later. Okay. Bye.
Now tell us about this place.
He's still on the phone.
All right. Bye. This is where they made the movie Baghdad Cafe.
Uh-huh.
Back in, what was it, 87?
Yeah.
And I think in 89, it took an award over in France. And we just... kind of like keep it open for the tours and like.
Because I read on the tour here that it said they still make a lot of movies. They still shoot here a lot. Commercials. Yeah.
I like that he couldn't commit. He couldn't commit the Cannes Film Festival to memory. Like over in France,
famous
got a
name
prize.
Or the atmosphere of the place, or
I think it's the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
We got a really nice and comfortable place.
Great,
you know,
great stuff.
People like it here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got a guest book.
Oh, we have everybody, so we can sign the guest book?
Yeah.
Or you sign it. Read. Yes. This man's 85. This man's 82.
Uh-huh.
They're only Baptists from the world. Read what it says.
Wow, this is...
Get ready.
This is a fascinating place. What is this?
It looks like any greasy spoon in any place in America.
What do you specialize in here? I saw you've got ostrich burgers here.
We got ostrich, buffalo... everything that's on the menu.
Where is the Buffalo Ranch?
They got everything on the menu.
One up here on Fort Katy, but it's
went
no
to the
longer
Whoopi
there.
Goldberg and, School of Specifics.
We just
you import your buffalo meat now.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Is it okay with you, Huell?
He found a Buffalo Ranch that was no longer there. I'm surprised he didn't be like, Louie, to the van! There's another place that doesn't exist anymore.
Vacant lot.
Yeah, closed. Because
he already went by the post office, which was closed.
Right.
And then he found the old timer who collected gravel in a soup can and had a scintillating interview with him. And now we're going to get to the bottom of this Burt Lancaster picture.
Oh, okay. We're getting ready to, the boss is wanting to start serving ostrich omelets.
Oh.
With ostrich eggs. Mm. So
that'll be a hit.
Oh,
yeah, I think so.
God, he's leaning away.
Do you have a lot of tourists coming in here from LA and other places?
L.A., San Diego, Long Beach, but mainly from France.
Oh, my
France,
gosh.
Germany, Japan.
Because of the movie, because it's so famous.
The movie, yes.
Now, it's empty in here today. Why is there a picture of Burt Lancaster up on... That is Burt Lancaster, isn't it?
I have no idea who it is. You know, honestly, it almost looks like their son. You know, that's a picture of him when he played in the movie Outsiders.
Who, this?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Just that's pointing at the ceiling.
The one who owns this
James
place.
Dean?
Yeah.
Is that who you were talking to on the phone?
No, I was talking to the owner.
Oh.
And she's in L.A. right now, so.
Wow, this whole thing is very interesting.
Huell's mind is blown.
What's going on here?
I'm just a truck driver. I've been coming in here for 20 years off and on.
Mm-hmm.
I come in here all the time.
And you're reading a Tom Clancy book here.
So not a lot of show prep.
You get out of the truck and come in and have a cup of coffee and read a little bit, and then
I'd like
get
to.
Back on your way.
Well, I like to eat here too.
Mm-hmm.
I got to usually have pretty good food.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you heading?
To qualify,
I'm coming out of New Mexico, going up to the San Francisco Bay Area.
So you pull over on Old Route 66 off the 40 freeway, and spend the morning at the Baghdad Cafe.
Well, it's long enough to eat.
Wait a minute.
The owner, Andre.
Howdy, how you doing?
Howdy.
Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe.
Okay.
Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster?
What are you
Why is there? Let's stand in here. Let
she's
me. Get
time.
Gonna,
she's going to call the police.
Viewers. Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe? Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually been here. Burt Lancaster's never been here. They just hung it up.
All right. Here's the point. We shouldn't know this tape exists, because in a real in production, in real world, you'd have to go back to Van and go, We got nothing. Yeah. Like, there's been times when we used to do the man show where, you know, Jimmy'd go do some man on the street, or I'd go do some man on the street or something. Very rare. But there are times you'd come back and you go, there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's no one good.
Right.
I don't think we can get a bit out of it.
This was sweeps for Huel.
Yeah.
Good news. Number one, the Baghdad Cafe, the movie, can be rented on Amazon for $3.99. The director, Percy Adlon, German fellow, still alive, 86 years old.
Mm.
Perhaps we
Has he ever visited the cafe?
He probably has been there.
Nobody in the footage we just saw is still alive.
That's
right?
True. No. Everyone is what? Average age 84?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way that true. But it is kind of interesting in that it's a time capsule of sort of Americana and what it used to be, like a white old guy trucker.
Yeah. Truck shop,
I don't think there's so many of those guys, especially in California. It's the Connecticut trans athlete. Yes. Sorry. What do you got, Max Bennett? Your mic's not hot.
Check 1, 2.
There you go.
Hey, see, at the top two athletes were transgender at the school. So some of the cisgender girls ended up suing because they were just getting destroyed. And the federal judge, he dismissed the lawsuit, saying that it was moot because these girls are going to graduate and all the cisgender girls are most likely not going to race against transgender girls anymore after that. So
it was dismissed. Damage is done.
Yeah, it was dismissed. Mm.
All right. We're going to talk to John Taffer from, by the way, celebrating their 200th episode of Bar Rescue. We'll talk to him. I guess he's coming to us from Las Vegas.
Reopened like yesterday.
Oh, really?
Well, like the day before. It was one of the last couple of days. Yeah, it was a big thing.
We had a what does that mean, reopened?
It was a ceremony. I'm sure there are various phases along the way, but yesterday or the day before was like a big to-do, a big ceremony.
Grand opening.
Lots of, very Vegas. We can ask John what that means.
All right, we shall. Gio's favorite Dingo Boy episode is on deck. So this is from what year? Is this from the Christmas album, Max Zapata?
It's just from 94 Christmas. It's from some cassettes he got.
Must be from the... Kevin Bean would always do the Christmas album. Remember how important those were? And then we'd go sign them places.
Someplace like Pomona.
We'd go somewhere that was far away. And then that was a big controversy one year. K-Rock would do... Kevin and Bean would do the Christmas... Kevin and Bean would do the Christmas cassette signing... Jimmy would write and produce most of that stuff. If some band came in, he'd pull them into the B studio and get them to record some song that he wrote for them. Very ambitious, and then edit it down.
It became a Christmas CD after when I was there. But
Yeah, probably started as a CD, maybe a cassette.
No, and then K-Rock was famous for dragging their heels on technology, so the cassette probably lasted well into the 90s.
Right, and then once a year, we'd also do the big calendar signing.
That's
and
right.
that was we'd go somewhere super far away. We'd go to like the parking lot of the Best Buy and there'd be a line of people as far as the eye could see. And that all the jocks would be lined up on a stage on shoulder to shoulder, like all the way down. Tammy, Heidi, and
Jed the
Sluggo,
Fishbowl.
Jed the Fish, and Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla. Everyone would be all lined up. There'd be like 10 jocks lined up, and everyone would make their way through, and they'd slide their calendar, and every jock would sign the calendar, and then it'd get to the end, and they'd go about their way. It was a thrill, I think, for a lot of the jocks who didn't get out that much. Not for me, because I was already all over MTV, and Drew and I were traveling the country playing big colleges and meet and greets, and I was kind of over the take the picture and sign the thing. Mm-hmm. I was fine with it, but I didn't want to do 7 hours of it.
Yeah.
And so we got into this big thing, and it would be from probably from like 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. or something like that.
Jesus.
So I started noticing at the beginning of the line that like jocks were doing their own personalized thing on everyone. I think somebody, maybe Tammy, was putting glitter on people's calendars and stuff like that. And I was sitting at the end of the line and I was waiting. So I'm looking at this never ending line of humanity just serpentine all the way in the parking lot. Meanwhile, I'm waiting on the calendar to come down because Tammy's taking a picture with somebody or whatever it is. So I said, move it along. And they're like, hey, you know, we're meeting with the fans. I'm like, we're never going to get through the line if you're bedazzling every calendar. So they kept bedazzling. So I said, all right, here's the deal. 5 o'clock, hard out. Like, I'm going to get up and leave at 5. If we can either move it along, because there's 150 people left at 5, I'm walking for my goddamn car. And everyone's like, boo. And I was like, just we'll move it along. Well, we didn't really move it along. And then 5 o'clock came, and I stood up, and I'm like, I'm fucking leaving. And they're like, where are you going? I'm like, why were you fucking playing grab ass with everyone who came through here? And then there were still 250 people left in line, and they'll start screaming at me.
Yeah.
So I sat back down.
You're hated. When we started Mark in the Morning, we had this big thing at the OC Fair. It was all day. It was huge. We were finally smart enough to go, just put your markers away. Just tell them you lost your markers. And then we would just say, hi, and they'd move it along.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact, I can back you up, that you weren't into that, because I seem to remember by the time I got up to meet you and Dr. Drew at KU and was really excited to tell you that my dad lived in Sherman Oaks, because that was in a state that you lived in, and your answer was, huh. And the picture of you was so downtrodden that I know you were kind of over it back then.
We
gotta find that picture.
I'm still looking.
We'd been traveling. We had the odyssey of being picked up by the crazy chicks who didn't know where anything was. Then we got picked up again, and they didn't know where the arena was. And then we were late for everything. Yep. And all Drew and I wanted to do was to eat barbecue that night.
Yeah.
So we were like, we got to hustle this along so we can get the fuck out of here and eat some barbecue tonight. So I was probably in the hustle. We never did get to the barbecue.
I was going to say, in Lawrence, you'd probably be shit out of luck anyway.
It never worked. We tried to find a place on the way back to the hotel. We never found a place. The next day, we got picked up by somebody else from another college who had to stop off at their work. And we sat in the car while they went into their work. It was, the whole trip was a goddamn disaster.
16 years later, when you get to the Arvest Bank, I promise, somebody from my family will drop something off.
Thank you. All right. Now, without any further ado, from 1994, Dingo Boy.
Found by wild dingoes in the outback they lived in. His parents had been murdered, and now dingoes are his kin. Dingoes taught him hunting, and dingoes taught him pride. Dingoes made his diapers out of gopher hide. Run, run, Dingo Boy. Run, run, Dingo Boy. Dingo Boy. Oh, run, run, Dingo Boy.
It's Christmas Eve. At the home of the McCracken family.
That's Doc.
Inside, it's warm, and the family's just finishing their holiday meal.
Please pass the cobbler, Mother.
Yes, Father. Enjoy. Tyson, would you like to open a gift before bed?
Yes, Mommy. Yes.
But outside, it's cold and lonely. Dingo Boy is huddled under the window.
Dingo Boy, cold. Make snow yellow. Keep warm.
Oh, my. A Saved by the Bell action figure.
Family inside have fire. Dingo Boy must kill and take.
Time for bed, son. St. Nicholas is on his way.
May I take Screech with me?
Why, of course you may, my dear. Run along now.
What that noise? Something on roof. Dingo Boy must climb like friend monkey.
Quietly, Dingo Boy climbs up to the roof like friend monkey. And there he spies a fat man in a red suit disappearing down the chimney and 8 tiny reindeer.
Oh, reindeer in heat. Dingo Boy hump.
And Dingo Boy got on Dasher, on Dancer, on Donner, and Nixon, on Comet, on Cupid, on Prancer, and Blitzen.
Dingo Boy, enjoy!
And just as Dingo Boy finished, Santa popped up out of the chimney.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas, Dingo Boy!
Dingo Boy no like Christmas.
Why? Everybody likes Christmas. Why don't you?
Why Santa bring boy Screech doll? No bring Dingo Boy present.
But Dingo Boy, Santa already did bring you a present.
Hmm? No understand.
Santa brought you the greatest gift of all. The gift of sex.
Hmm. Sex good. Make Dingo Boy tingle.
Glad you enjoyed it. Personally, Santa's into elves, but to each his own.
So, Christmas good?
Yes, Dingo Boy. Christmas is very good. Now you be good, and I'll see you next year. Yeah! Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Yeah!
Hmm. Dingo Boy learned valuable lesson about Christmas. Better to give it to reindeer than receive. Reindeer hot, like man fire. No can wait till Easter. Try out bunny.
Run, 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 Dingo Boy. Run, run, Dingo Boy. Dingo Boy.
That must have been Frank Murphy playing the dad. Frank Murphy was the producer for Kevin and Bean. For years.
Never known.
And Frank was idiosyncratic. Frank had two rules. You couldn't touch his newspaper.
Okay.
He got his newspaper.
Perfect for radio.
Yes. Yeah, and you couldn't flip it open and grab the sports page out of it. Or you could not touch his newspaper. And you also could not put any form of food trash in his trash can. And I'm not talking about apple cores. I'm talking about piece of gum that's wrapped up in the wrapper,
or
a wrapper from a fast food taco or anything. There was no food trash. And Frank was very stingy with the parking validation stickers.
This is very much a producer of a radio show.
Right. So it's like Elvis Costello would be going, well, I parked under. Well, when did you? Well, if you came a half hour early, that was kind of on you. That's on you. But I'll give you one stamp.
Yeah, like, not these all day stickers.
I'll give you the 2 20-minute stamps, and then you can make up. It's like they're guests on the show. Just give them the fucking.
Oh, God.
It's an interesting thing, which is you give someone something. It wasn't like Frank paid for the validation stickers.
It wasn't coming out of his end.
But he was the gatekeeper.
Right.
So you had to go to him. Yeah. And good luck getting those out of him.
That person is always, at a radio station, a very specific personality type.
Frank, also, there was a couple of epic meltdowns, and one of them was Frank parked on the street, too, because Frank didn't want to park underneath. But one morning at 5 in the morning, he was running down the ramp to get to the underground parking because the gate was like closing and he was trying to like just get under
Indiana
the gate.
Jones.
Tripped, like broke his forearm. Now, he had a cast on his forearm. And so thus, for the next several months, while he had the cast on the forearm, his wife would drive him into work at 4:45. Mm-hmm. She had a job, but she'd still have to get up and drive him in. And then I was like, Frank, is your car stick shift? And he's like, nope, it's an automatic. And I'm like, Archie Manning played half his career with a forearm cast. You can find pictures of Archie Manning for the Saints playing, you know, son of Eli Payton. Father of Eli Payton. He played a season he played quarterback at the NFL level.
Surely he could drive a half mile.
He could drive the Honda Civic in that was on. And then we also found out, I think, that Frank's wife had to get up in the morning and kind of help him with the shower as well. Ah. And then I think Jimmy dug into that a little deeper than Frank would have liked on the air.
Oh.
And
went insane.
Had one of those. There's Frank Murphy. We're looking at a picture of Kevin and Bean.
Who's the drifter on the other end?
Frank Murphy, me, Lightning, Jimmy, and Henry Winkler, the Fonz in the middle from, I don't know where the hell that was from. That must have been the Acoustic Christmas or something like that. Because Jimmy, wow. I was wearing my Burcham outfit, so it definitely wasn't a morning over at Kevin and Bean.
Who's the guy in between you and Jimmy?
That's Lightning.
Oh, it is?
Jay Tillis, who went on to produce after Frank left. And yeah, people are wearing lanyards in this.
You can see between you and Lightning, and that says Acoustic Christmas.
Yeah. Also, everyone does this thing where you take a picture and then they want you to take your lanyard off and then take the picture again. Leave the fucking lanyard on. When you look at it in 25 years,
you'll
have no fucking idea where you were if you don't have the lanyard on. Yeah, that was the...
The Gay Men's Chorus?
That I don't even know what picture we're looking at now. We're looking at everyone in tuxedos, and there's Frank Murphy again. That was my first Acoustic Christmas. I went backstage. I tell you, everyone, if you become a celebrity, someone will give you a tell me your first story about, you know, being a celebrity or the day you knew or stopped at an airport or something like that. We were backstage. I heard a bunch of people sort of gathering around the Fonz and I was walking past. It was a cluster of humanity, and I heard this this voice go, I don't know, Bertram's around here somewhere or something like that. Mm-hmm. They were talking to Henry Winkler. I'd been in show business for 4 months. I wasn't even in show business. I've been on K-Rock for 4 months. I was a carpenter, and of course I grew up with that Night Shift, the movie, and I grew up watching Happy Days, and Henry Winkler was a big deal to me. And someone said, but I think Bertram's around. Yeah, and he saw me. Like, went, Bertram, come over here. And I went over there. And this is Henry Winkler, and he gave me the two handed handshake, the two hander.
He's a mensch
with the eyebrows pitched up in all sincerity. He looked at me and he went, nobody can do what you do. Nobody does what you do. Nobody can do that. Hey. And I was like, oh my God. It's mind goddamn blown.
And he turned to Rodney on the Rock and said the same thing.
That's right. And then Sluggo came by. All right. Let me tell you about Liquid IV. Ooh, you got to work out. You got to break a sweat. You got to push your body and sometimes feel a little bit run down. It's important to get proper vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV, hydration multiplier, plus immune support. Maintain and strengthen your immune system. This stuff is great. I keep it in the car. I always travel with it because especially if you had a couple of pops on the plane and there's a little time zone and a little sleep thing, always hydrate with Liquid IV. Cutting edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single serving packets that help strengthen your immune system. Powered by cellular transport technology to enhance rapid absorption of water and nutrients. 2 to 3 times more hydration than water alone. It's Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Get your Liquid IV's hydration multiplier plus immune support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code ADAM at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code ADAM at liquidiv.com.
We'll talk to John Taffer next from Vegas about reopening Vegas and about COVID and all the rescuing and all the bars and all that right after this.